for just your spirit, just being with us. I just praise you and I love you. And I pray for Sean when he gets into the message. Help us to open our hearts to it. Help us to listen to it. Help us to just use it in our lives, our daily lives, because your word is effective.
Amen.
And I praise you again. It's all in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. James, awesome job, man. Amen. So today we're going to study, going to continue our study of God's word. We've been in the Psalms, Psalm 119, verses 81 to 96. These are the verses that we're going to read today. My soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I've put my hope in your word. My eyes fail looking for your promise. I say, when will you comfort me? Though I am like a wineskin in the smoke, I did not forget your decrees. How long must your servant wait? When will you punish my persecutors? The arrogant dig pits to trap me contrary to your law. All your commands are trustworthy. Help me, for I am being persecuted without cause. They almost wipe me from the earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. In your unfailing love, preserve my life that I may obey the statutes of your mouth. Your word is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Save me, for I am yours. I have sought out your precepts. The wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes. To all perfection, I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. So these are the 16 verses that we're going to look at today. But what I want to do is I want us to focus our minds on five specific verses. And these are the five verses. In verse 83, he says, though I am like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your decrees. Verse 86, all your commands are trustworthy. Help me, for I am being persecuted without cause. Verse 87, they almost wipe me from the earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. Verse 92, if your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. And verse 95, the wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes. And when we examine these passages, just these five verses, the psalmist is painting a picture about things that he must be going through. And when we read these five verses, the picture that I see is that the psalmist is suffering. He's suffering. Now, I did a lot of research to try to figure out what wineskin in the smoke means. And I ran into some trouble, but the best commentary that I saw, wineskins, for a wineskin to be of value, it has to be soft. It has to be tender. Because the wineskin, if it gets hard, it will crack and the wine will spill out. So if a wineskin is in smoke, it means that there must be a fire, and therefore the wineskin is drying out and will become useless eventually. And so the psalmist in verse 83 is saying in his own way that he is feeling like he has no use, that his life lacks meaning. Anybody ever felt like that? Okay. 86, I'm being persecuted without cause. 87, they almost wiped me from the earth. He's talking about death, at least a near-death experience. Verse 92, if your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Verse 95, the wicked are waiting to destroy me. And so what I see is that the psalmist is suffering, but he does not abandon his faith in God. He's not feeling sorry for himself. He doesn't see himself as a victim. He's not asking, why is this happening to me? He's not asking, what did I do to deserve this? And these are common questions that we ask when we're going through periods of hardship or adversity. Why is this happening to me? But the psalmist does not ask those questions. He's constantly refocusing his mind on God and God's sovereignty over all the details of human affairs. This is an intentional decision that he makes. It is not normal for us to think about God and to exalt God when we're suffering. It is not normal. It is normal for human beings to vent their rage at someone or at something for the hardship that they are presently experiencing. Job's wife fell into spiritual despair, because when she faced adversity and loss. Remember the story in Job chapter 2? Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. See, in those days, they didn't have cocoa butter. And what Job had to do, he had to scrape himself with broken pottery. And as he's scraping himself, his wife says, are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. Job's wife had fallen into spiritual despair because she was experiencing adversity and loss. And she said, curse God and die. But consider Job's faithfulness. While he is still scraping his body with the sores, he says, you're talking like a foolish woman. He's the one scraping his sores, you know, not she. And he says to her, shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. How many of us have said sinful things when we've been suffering? Job was not guilty of that sin. Can I get an amen, church? Yes, I'm telling you. And that is why the Negro spirituals can be a source of inspiration. Because we have to remember, the African-American community lived in a condition of perpetual oppression for generations. And in spite of their oppression, this very same community gave birth to the Negro spirituals. Isaiah 10 verses 1 and 2 says, woe to those who make unjust laws, to those who issue oppressive decrees, to deprive the poor of their rights, and withhold justice from the oppressed of my people, making widows their prey and robbing the fatherless. But I'm here to tell you, if I know they probably didn't teach you this in school, but the United States of America was a country of unjust laws. And these laws held up a system of oppression for the African American community. There were laws that banned black people from settling in certain states. Can you imagine that? No, you can't go over there to Illinois because you're black. That was their reality. There were laws that banned interracial marriages between whites and blacks. It was illegal. You go to prison for marrying someone white or black. For interracial marriage, they could send you to jail. It was a law in the United States. There were laws that banned people of certain races from being educated. If you're black, if you are Indian, you can't go to school. You need to stay uneducated. Why? The color of your skin. If you're black, you couldn't own property. These were laws This was not people's opinions. You could be imprisoned and punished if you went to school or if you owned property. The other thing about the laws, I mean, laws are there to protect people, but also the absence of laws protecting African Americans' right to life made them vulnerable to terror. And I want to talk a little bit about lynching in America. So this was common in the United States of America during slavery and during the years of Jim Crow South. And basically, in essence, the essence of lynching is that it was really, you know, if somebody accused a black person of doing something, the men, it was predominantly the men, white men, would come and grab that person who was typically black and just kill them. Actually, in some cases, it was a source of entertainment for the community. The people would come out and go, oh, they're going to lynch someone. Oh, let's go see. And they would watch a black man being lynched. Disproportionately, African-American men were the ones who were lynched, but they lynched women and they lynched other people who were non-white. The most famous case of lynching in the United States was the case of Emmett Till. Emmett Till was 14 years old when he was lynched in August of 1955. He was accused of whistling at a white woman. Emmett violated an unwritten code for a black male interacting with a white female in the South. Two men who were accused of killing him were tried and found not guilty by an all-white jury. And these same men later told their story and admitted to killing Emmett Till because they knew they could not be tried again. What's interesting is that in 2022, they passed the Emmett Till anti-lynching law. And it's now a federal law. If you are found guilty of lynching someone, it's now a federal crime, a hate crime. And it's called the Emmett Till anti-lynching law. And that came into effect in 2022. 67 years after Emmett Till's lynching. 67 years. When you wait 67 years to pass an anti-lynching law, you're communicating something to people. And that's why African Americans are saying Black Lives Matter. That's why they're saying this. Because for generations, African Americans have lived in a condition where they felt like their life simply did not matter. And it's because of these oppressive laws and the length of time that it took to repeal them. These laws affect people. These laws govern relationships between blacks and whites. And even though many of these laws that I talked about have been repealed, they sure have left their mark on people. Why am I talking about this? My intention this morning is not to foment hatred towards white people. I'm not leading a rebellion. We're not going to become a black church. just want to let everybody know, okay? I want to shine a light on a dark period of America's history. I think we can draw inspiration from the suffering of the African American slaves. I think these songs help them to take their minds off of their present condition and focus their minds on God. Brothers and sisters, our thought life matters. How we think about what we're going through matters. What we tell ourselves when we are faced with adversity and affliction, what we tell ourselves matters. Titus 3, it says, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Make no mistake, the broken relationships between blacks and whites, the racial divides, are the result of fallen, sinful man. The Apostle Paul was talking to Titus, and he's saying, we too lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. This is a result of the fallen, sinful condition of human beings. And so we have to shed light on that in order for us to understand one another, understand the existing hostilities that are there in our society between blacks and whites. It's real. There's a history to it, but we don't need to be slaves to the history. Amen? Amen. Amen. I think every human being will face adversity in some form or another. Some of us may be going through adversity right now, right? Maybe a family challenge, maybe a health challenge, maybe a challenge with your job, or just challenge with, you know, your children, or just sometimes looking at yourself in the mirror can bring about adversity. It's like, what in the world is going on with me? You know what I'm saying? We're all going to face adversity at some point. But to me, the important question is, how can I nurture my faith in God when faced with adversity? That's the question. How do I nurture it? How do I build it up when things aren't going the way I would like them to go? I think we can turn to the scriptures and see how people of faith dealt with adversity. I encourage you to read the story of Joseph. Read it. Genesis chapters 37 through 50. You know the story about Joseph is incredible, because Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. Right? And people have said, well, you know, people in Africa, they sold each other to slavery. The patriarchs sold their own brother to slavery. Can I get an amen, church? The patriarchs. Hello? Okay? They sold their own brother to slavery. Yet Joseph did not abandon his faith in God when he was in the midst of his afflictions. Genesis 49, Joseph is a fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climbed over a wall. With bitterness, archers attacked him. That's a reference to his flesh and blood, his brothers. They shot at him with hostility, but his bow remained steady. His strong arm stayed limber because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel, because of your father's God who helps you, because of the Almighty who blesses you with blessings of the skies above, blessings of the deep springs below, blessings of the breast and womb. Joseph did not waver in his faithfulness to God. Consider the story of Moses. The Hebrew writer says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Verse 25, he chose to be mistreated because of his faith. He rejected the granite counters and the marble floors and the living in luxury and the HD TVs. He rejected those. He says he chose to be with the poor slaves because of his faith. Think about Moses. Consider the persecution of the apostles. Their story is told in Acts chapter 4. I'm not going to read through the whole passage, but you know, these apostles were out preaching God's word. And the Pharisees and Sadducees were disturbed at their preaching. They were jailed. They were brought before the high priest and questioned. They were even commanded. They were commanded, do not speak in this name. Can you imagine if the attorney general comes in here and says, stop talking about Jesus? That's what it was like for the apostles. They were threatened. If you keep talking about Jesus, we're going to kill you. And look what happened. They were released. It says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threat and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They were jailed, they were commanded not to speak, and they were threatened. And did they go, oh man, Lord, why? Woe is me? Why did this happen to me? I thought being a Christian was supposed to be easy. I'm getting in trouble now for speaking the truth. I'm just going to shut up and not get people disturbed. I just want a life of comfort. I just want to raise my kids and my family in peace. I don't want to cause no trouble no more. Did they say that? No. They said, Lord, you are sovereign, and we're going to obey you rather than these men. And what they pray, think about what they prayed for. God, enable us in the midst of what is happening, enable us to speak more boldly. And the Lord answered their prayer. The room where they were praying was shaken, but they were determined to go out and spread the message of the gospel. You know, it takes strength of character to do what is right in the eyes of God when faced with adversity. Finally, I want us to consider our Savior Jesus. Jesus was not crucified for being male. He was not crucified for the color of his skin. He was crucified for what he believed. And every Sunday, the Christian church is asked to look upon the suffering Messiah. Every time we meet, this is a command that we need to look upon the suffering Messiah. And if you don't have a communion cup, just raise your hand and we'll give you a cup in a little bit. But there's a passage here I want us to reflect on as we take the communion. And as we, a community of believers, remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Isaiah 53, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. So this is Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace. What does it say about our Messiah? He was despised. He was rejected by mankind. He was a man of suffering, and he was familiar with pain. And because of his faith, people were embarrassed to be around him. That's what it means. Like one from whom people hide their faces. This is the person who we say we're following as a Christian community, right? This is who we say we're following. Well, the way I see it, if we say we're following Jesus, that's who we, if that's what we really say, then it should not be a surprise when, if we are rejected by human beings, or if we have to suffer for what we believe or what we proclaim to be the truth, if we become familiar with pain, if people are embarrassed because of us, we should not think that that is a problem. We should embrace these conditions because we've chosen to follow Jesus. We made that choice. Nobody forced us to do it, right? All right, let me do this again. just that we're on all the same. Just, we're not in bondage here, okay? Amen. We follow Christ freely. Can I get an amen, church? Amen. All right, amen, amen. What I'm saying is, we signed up for this. That's what we signed up for. And so don't think it's strange when people look at you strange because you believe the things that Jesus taught. Let us humble ourselves and let us thank Jesus for his suffering and what that suffering produced for us. And let's remember, there is God, the hand of God is there in times of trouble, affliction, and adversity. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We're just so grateful that we can reflect on your son Jesus and just remember the suffering that he endured so that we can be forgiven of our sins. He was not thinking about himself, but he was thinking about us, and he was thinking about bringing glory to you. Father, as we take this cup, this bread that represents Jesus' body and the fruit of the vine that represents his blood, fill us with ever increasing gratitude and ever increasing understanding and knowledge of the tremendous sacrifice that was paid for our redemption. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.